Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. Isn't it good to know that? And He is coming back. I'm preaching about that very thing today. This is where the Lord's put my heart. I pray this will be a blessing to you. If you're here and you're lost, you're a special guest. Understand this. He's coming back, and He's only going to take that when He appears, which belongs to Him. That means He's going to leave a host here on the earth. And I know that's it's just where I'm at today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Expository preaching, that's a dangerous thing for me, but it's where I'm at. And James Blair said, you can't go wrong with that, son. You cover it all when you do it that way. And so I'm going to read down through verse 13. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, reading is lengthy for me. Normally I read one or two verses, but this is... Now we'll come back and we're going to expound on these 13 verses. I can do it in 15 minutes. I probably won't, but I could. Have you found 2 Peter 3? Shout amen. This second epistle. Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first. That's a strong statement. Of all the things he said to know, he said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Father, I thank You for the day, Lord. I thank You for allowing me to be behind Your desk once again, unworthy to carry this book and preach this gospel, righteous only by and through the blood that they sing about today. Lord, I need your help. And I pray that I be accurate in the Scriptures. God, I'm not one of the fellows that's been to their schools, but I've been with you. I can't do it without you, God, but I can do all things through you. So fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of this holy writ and do it for your glory. I'll praise you for everything that's accomplished. If there be one here unsaved today, I pray, God, that you would save them from this place of wrath and torment. I pray, God, if there be that one that's unsure, that you'll settle it in their soul today. God, the one that's cold and indifferent, backed up somewhere else besides the will of God, I pray you'd speak to them. I'm going to give you glory for everything that's done and ask it in the name of the King, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Peter's writing the second epistle to those scattered abroad throughout the different parts of Asia here. Now he's writing this, just about 4 or 5 years before Titus the Roman's going to come through and he's going to wipe Jerusalem out. He's going to destroy that land. I'm telling you, he's not going to leave one stone unturned. He's going to turn it upside down. And it doesn't look like God's in the middle of this, but the Lord's right in the middle. He's right in the midst of it. He's allowing all this to take place. Can I tell you, if we could just convince the world, Brother Danny, that this word is true. If people would read this word and understand who God is and who we are and how far away removed we are from the perfection and holiness of God, it would change the way people think and live in this present day. But I'm afraid that even people that go to church on a regular basis have forgotten who He is and what He does and why He does it. There's some questions answered in this. By the way, we're in deep water in this chapter. We're not wading in the kiddie pool right here. We're in swimming water. I'm going to do the best I can on expounding upon these 13 verses. You stay with me. Don't expect to be running around a lot today. He wants you to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Understanding this. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the inspired Word of God. It's the living Word of God. It's the Word that created everything that we see. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. It's the Word of God. It's kept in store. It's what made you and I. Praise God. The Word of God. You're not saved because Mike McCoy preached, Mike Blanton, one of the other guys that'll preach next week, Brother Hoy, any of those guys, Joe Arthur, none of those guys. You're not saved because of that. You're saved because of the Word of God. The Spirit of God moves upon you. It brings you an understanding of the Word of God. And you see yourself before a holy God. And I'm telling you, when I see myself before a holy God, Mike McCoy doesn't look too good. But they sing about a blood. Glory to God. They sing about the blood. He sees me through a crimson curtain. And when He sees me through the blood, I look a lot better then than I do right now. Aren't you glad He sees you through the blood? Every born again child of God listening in the sanctuary or viewing on Facebook, understand what that means? That praise God. Hey, listen, it takes the blood. Here's what He wants to do. He said, He wants to stir up our pure minds, our sincere minds. That word there, sincere, we think of that pure, really, and it means this. And from my studies this week, it means this, that we are sincere. It's our minds that are certain. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That's the sincerity of the mind. Are you still with me? I didn't give you the title of this. I need to for it to be relevant today. I'm preaching on evidence of the end. Evidence of the end. Because here's what the scoffers say in verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now let's consider what these last days are. The last days began at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God had come and was set down upon Him. Everything changed at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit up to that point had only been given to a few individuals, as God seen whom He chose to place it upon. He put it upon them. But the day of Pentecost, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Spirit of God becomes inside. He indwells us. That's how I know right from wrong. That's why the world is blinded to sin. They have not the Spirit of truth within them to guide them in all truth. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You can't be His without His Spirit. He is the Comforter. The scoffers come in these last days. The last days began then. If the last days begin then, we're 2,000 and some odd years into this thing. How close to the end are we now? I want you to hear this. I know that if you watch the news or listen to the radio or on social media, you understand there's a little shaking going on in California the other day. I wonder if that got anyone's attention or if they might be under the same thought of this fella. This was from the LA Times back in 1994. And I could have given you the wrong paper right there. It was from one of the papers in that area. Jeff Duthwaite of Santa Barbara, January 29th, 1994, said, "It should be abundantly clear by now to all that there is no God up there directing quakes, fires, and floods." I disagree with him. I'm not saying that God says, okay, I'm going to shake it right now. But here's what He did say in His Word. That in the last days, He said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Have we seen that? He said, but the end is not yet. That's not the end, but that's what's going to happen. There's wars and rumors of war. Some affected in this room, no doubt, by someone that's died or been injured or served in a war of some capacity. He said, but there'll be this. There'll be earthquakes in divers places. He said, there'll also be this. There'll be famines and there'll be pestilence. When I looked that word pestilence up in the Greek, this is what caught my attention. It means disease. Means disease. My daughter-in-law had just went to work for Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville, and someone told me that Vandy is the number one employer in the greater Nashville area. You think the pestilence are here? You think they're here? He said, now the end's not yet, but this is a sign, this is a picture, this is a harbinger, if you would, of the last time. We're talking about evidence of the end. This earth is not going to remain as we know it right now. It will not. Say, so when's it going to change, preacher? On the great day of the Lord. Now let's understand when this day is. Let's come on down in the Scripture, if we may. Have you met a scoffer lately? In 1994, Mr. Duthwaite was scoffing to the paper. It hasn't changed. This is 2019. I can't believe we're that far into this thing, but here we are. And the scoffers are still here. I've heard that all my life, preacher, that He's coming back one day. You've heard this all your life too, or you've seen evidence of it. You're going to die. And then one day, the death angel will show up, and you know what? You can kick and scream and cry and carry on all you want to, and He's still going to get you. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no escape from that unless Jesus comes and carries us out of here. Are you still with me? Where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I want us to notice two things here. The evidence, number one, is that they're scoffing. You know what they scoff at? They scoff at sin. They laugh, Brother Dennis. Here's the thing. Here's the philosophy of the world. If it feels good, do it. You're not hurting anyone. If you want it, take it. All the earth is yours. But that's not true. The Bible said that all the earth is His and the fullness thereof. Your children don't belong to you. They're a gift of God that He gave you. You're wearing His clothes. You drove His car to church this morning. You're sitting on His furniture. And if you eat anything this afternoon, that belongs to Him too. So therefore, if it all belongs to Him, I tell you, He's got a right to say what happens to what belongs to Him. So number one, they scoff at sin. Number two, they scoff at His salvation. Brother Gordon, we talked about this, but I started to shout this verse out in Sunday school. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, what is it? Power of God. How can a man dying on a cross save anybody and give them eternal life? The difference is this, is the man on the cross. There's three men on the cross on... There's three men on the crosses that day. But it's the man in the middle that made the difference for everybody else from that point on throughout the history of the world. Praise God, it's that man. It's that blood that's incorruptible. It's that blood that makes a difference. It's that holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. It's that man. I'm saved today because of the man in the middle. They scoff at that salvation. How can a man dying save anybody from anything? Here's the thing, my friend. He got up. He got up. If he had stayed in the grave, where would we be? We'd all be dead in our trespass and sins. But He got up. Hey! He done what no other man ever done or could ever do. Aren't you glad that He got up? Now, basically, it boils down to this. They scoffed at His sin. They scoff at His salvation. They scoff at His Scripture, His Word. They make fun of that old book. Do you think it's coincidence? No. That they're trying everything in their power to get rid of that book. And listen, I'm a King James guy. I was raised on it. I read it. That's what I study in. I read commentaries and other writings. I'm a King James guy. Say, I don't believe that. I'll tell you, and I may resurrect this. I've done this when I first took the church back in 02 over here in the old sanctuary. I've done a thing on Wednesday night why I use, support, and recommend the King James Bible. I think I need to resurrect that. And you know why, Brother Kerry? Because it was bought with blood. It paid the price, Brother Gordon. It's miraculous how it was put together. Now, there have been a lot of other things written since then. And there's been some commentaries and different versions of Bible. But now they've tried to write the non-gender Bible. That's not a Bible. A Bible just means book of books. It's a book of books, but it's not a holy Bible. If anybody here is confused today, let me tell you, God made two. He made men and women.
That's all there is. If he had wanted an in-between, he'd have made an in-between. He made man and woman. I know that offends someone. Listen, take it up with the one who wrote the book. Here we go, verse 5, led me right into this, for they are willingly ignorant. Will Rogers said everyone's ignorant, they're just ignorant on different subjects. But these are willingly ignorant. The evidence is this. It's given in the next few verses. I'm going to jump down. I'll just quickly give you this. First, it's talking about in creation, the evidence was there. God stepped out when there wasn't anything. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and the light began. But after creation, 2,000 years later, the hearts of man were deceitful. They were continually wicked. All they could think about was wicked things. God saw man. He had a guy by Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah moved with fear because of God appearing to him. He said, build you a boat. He built an ark, if you would. That's what it was. And he saved Noah and his family by the water because the ark sat upon the water. The ark being a picture of Christ. The water being a picture of the world. We see the judgment of God upon the earth. And they were all destroyed. And they knew this at this time, Brother Johnny. People are finding evidence every day of the... They said they're even the archaeologists, the seismologists, these guys are measuring earthquakes. They dig down, they look in the earth, and they say there's a great silt line down there. Don't know how it got there. Must have been a flood. Willingly ignorant. Choosing to be ignorant. I'll tell you this today. If you leave here unsaved, you're leaving unsaved. And here's what you're going to know before you leave here. There's a man named Jesus who was the only begotten Son of God. He died for your sin that you don't have to go to hell. He took your sin. He buried it in the ground. He left it there. He come walking out. Praise God, in His perfection again, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. If you want to be saved, all you got to do is ask Him. Now, if you leave here today and choose not to do that, you're choosing to be willingly ignorant. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Okay, we're talking about, now we're jumping. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. God made a promise. But His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't be ignorant of this, that 1,000 days is like a day with the Lord. Because I'm about to talk about the day of the Lord next. He's telling you what He's about to talk about before He says it. This old fisherman never had any official training, but the Holy Ghost has changed the way he thinks. Now, here's why the axe murderer, the child molester, the people that we perceive as being awful and terrible and worthy of death and hell, but I'm just going to tell you. My Bible says that there's none righteous, no, not one. You know what that does? That puts Mike McCoy in the same category with them people until Jesus, but God. When you put the Jesus factor in there, everything changes. I'm starting to feel like preaching right here. Things getting better now. You put the Jesus factor in there, everything changes. But God's still long-suffering. Do you know that Adolf Hitler could have been saved right up to the time he put the pistol to his head and pulled the trigger? I believe he could have been saved. Had he humbled himself, fell down, called upon the name of the Lord? You'll think this is a little out there in left field, but I prayed for Osama bin Laden. I fervently prayed that Osama bin Laden would step out, say, I've been gloriously saved by Jesus Christ. Now the other Muslims would have killed him, but what a testimony that would have been. I was wrong in all I'd done. I prayed for Saddam Hussein. I prayed that God had gloriously saved him. But when he jumped off the scaffold yelling, Allah Akbar, I knew that my prayers had fallen
by the wayside. And he died without Christ. Willingly ignorant. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. That's big. That's deep water. Because if it was up to Mike McCoy, they wouldn't make it. But it's not up to me. It's up to the Lord. And He loved them enough to die for them. He died for all of mankind. Isn't that amazing? How many daddies we got in here? Did you give your child for the meanest man on death row today? No, I don't think so. You'd say, go ahead and let him hang. Put him in a chair. Gas him. Give him the drug. But you're not getting my boy. Now this is above my pay grade right here. But from the foundation of the world, God looked down through the portals of time. He saw a lost man named Mike McCoy, and he said, that guy can't make it. He can't make it unless I go. Because he ain't got the stuff. He can't do it on his... But I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And if he will, if he'll choose, I'm going to call him. And if he'll answer the phone, hallelujah, I'll put him in the family. Isn't it good to be in the family today? And you know right now whether you're in that family or not. You can't fake it and make it. You can't just hope that you're going to get there. The Bible said, Jesus, the God who died for us, said, you must be born again. And you must be. Willing. He's long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we see this in verse number 10. This twists a lot of people up. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How does a thief come? He doesn't let you know. He doesn't say, I'm coming tonight. No, you just lock your doors in case he does come. The point of the matter is this. That he's coming. He said he's coming. There's evidence of his coming. When he was resurrected before his crucifixion and before his resurrection, he told them, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He told them he was going to do it. And he done it. More evidence. If all those evidences are true, and I suggest to you by the Word of God, by the authority of this book, that they are true, then may I suggest that this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Okay, now, I'm slowing down right here because I don't want to confuse not one person. And growing up as a child, I would read some of these verses and they'd train wreck me, Brother Dennis. I tell you, now this don't make any sense to me. If that church is going to get caught up like they are talking about all the time, how in the world is he going to catch us up and burn it all in one day? But then there's 1,000 years in between that. How's that going to be? And there's a tribulation period stuck in there somewhere in between that. How is that all going to transpire if the day of the Lord, it's not a 24-hour period? We've just learned that a day's like 1,000 years. So now we're talking about 1,000 years before it melts away. Well, prior to that, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, there has to be this. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet, or in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There we go, we're caught up. I know this is boring some of you to death, but when you die, you'll wish 1,000 times you had this opportunity again. That ignorant hillbilly preacher knew what he's talking about. Why do you say that? Because I'm not saying what I think. It's what the book says. He said that some would be asleep when he come back.
So if you're sleepy, you should have brought a pillow. A thousand years. Let me go here. The Lord could come this afternoon. He could come in the next moment. There's nothing scripturally to hold Him back from coming other than this, that evil men will wax worse and worse, and maybe they're not bad enough yet. How bad have they got to be, preacher? Pretty bad. Worse than now. When I was a child, I got on a 20-inch Schwinn bicycle. I'd tell my mama, I'm going to Granny's. We lived in Pomona. Granny lived over near Lantana Road. I'd jump on my bicycle, ride over to Grandma's house, knock on the door. She'd say, well, look here, you come to see me today. Colin rides down to the end of the street. When I buy him a bicycle, I'm walking out there with a pistol. You better not even slow down and look at that boy once. I'll be waving my gun at you. Go on by. They just arrested a billionaire for human trafficking in Florida. I read in the paper yesterday. He's going to the hoose cow, but how many lives has he ruined? And you're saying things are going to get worse, preacher? Just stick around and see. But the rapture will occur according to the Bible. And you can call it caught up if you want to. That's a good word. That's the Bible. That's the word that translated into English, caught up. And then after that, there's going to be a peace. There's going to be a false peace. And Jesus said it like this when they say, peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh as a woman in travail. The sudden destruction is going to come. They're going to say, peace, peace. You know what they're looking for right now everywhere? Tell me. Peace. You know what the Palestinians want? They want peace. You know what the Israelis say they want? They want peace. They want bombs to quit flying over in their backyard. You know what the Muslims want? They want to take over the world so they can have their kind of peace. Everybody's looking for this peace. There'll be a man, once the church is gone, there'll be a man step in. He'll have all the answers and they'll follow him hook, line, and sinker. And for 7 years, we're going to a wedding. Who is that? That's the born again. I don't believe that. That's crazy talk. Here's crazy. Here's what the world sees as crazy. A man died for my sin. They buried him in the ground. 3 days later, he got up, and then he took a cloud to heaven. They just can't comprehend that. If I can put anything into the hearts of my children that sit inside this sanctuary, they're going to know this, that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. You're not going any other way. You won't go because daddy's good, mama's good. You won't go because you've made a lot of money in this life. Boys, the only way you'll go is through Jesus. That's why you'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven because Jesus died for you. And you can be gloriously saved, and most of our children in here are, but you can be gloriously saved, and then when the horn sounds and the ride comes, we're going to heaven. And then there's going to be 7 years, 3.5 years. The first 3.5 isn't going to be that bad. It's going to be bad enough, but it's going to look like peace. And then the man of sin, Jesus called him the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, that's Jerusalem, that's the hill of Zion. When you see him stand there, look out, because the next 3.5 years is going to be like no other 3.5 years. The time of Jacob's trouble, there's not going to be another time upon the history of this earth like that time. You can go with us and miss it if you want to. Amen. But then he's going to come back.
And them that sleep with Jesus shall God bring with Him. That's prior to verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4. How's He going to bring them with Him? Well, because the body goes back to the earth and the soul goes to be with the Lord. And the Lord brings the soul back and puts it in a glorified body. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. No more heart attacks! Hospitals out of business. Funeral homes bankrupt. Good thing Latham's not here today. He'd have took a deep breath right there. And there it is. And then we come back with Him. Revelation 19 says He comes back on a white horse. Some don't like that scripture. I don't know why that bothers people so bad. If He rode into town on the donkey, the foal of an ass, the first time, which is a sign of humility in Middle Eastern times, a white stallion was the ultimate sign of power. So I just don't believe it'd be a literal horse. Well, let's just say He brings a rocket back. He can come back however He wants to. He don't need anything. He left on a cloud. Let's just say to appease the ignorant that it just shows up. And then by the sword of His mouth, which is the word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the under of the soul and the spirit. That's cutting something pretty close. I'm trying to quit right here. And He comes back and He sets up His kingdom for 1,000 years. There's a day. It's such a 7 years is such a small amount of time that I think He just tagged it on the 1,000 right there to let her ride. And there's a day. And He sets up His kingdom for what seems like a day, which is 1,000 years. And then there's one more judgment. You believe the heart of man is so wicked? It used to train wreck me right here. I said, why does He turn the devil loose? Why would He turn the devil loose? Once he's in the pit, once that one angel comes and binds him up, casts him in, won't He just leave him in the hole? But He comes out to test man one more time to see which one of them are really Christ. And He's loosed, the Bible said, for a season. Seasons are short. Summer's nearly over, by the way. Here we are. And there He is. And then the great white throne. Now it is my opinion that when that takes place, it is not on the earth. It's in the abode of God, the great white throne. There's the throne. There's the judgment and all the lost. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You will not get by without standing before Him. You will, friends. You will stand before Him. But now, you can stand before Him at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, where the Christians give an account for what we've done in this body, whether we've done something for Him or not. Or people can die lost and stand, go to the great white throne of judgment, and they're cast, literally, the Bible said. And here's for the people that says, hail's not a Bible word. It's added in the English. We understand. Here's what the old English word, hail, it's brought from the thing, heal. It means to cover up. So that's what we do with dead people. We cover them up. It's a place of the dead. But Jesus adds this to it. Those that died without Him went to a place of torments. And they're cast, Brother James, into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. He said, knowing this, there's some things we ought to do. Because we know this, we ought to do some things. First, we ought to love the Lord for what He's done for us. Most people don't love anyone unless they've done something for them. And knowing this, we ought to love. And listen, we ought to do this. We ought to live for Him.
Amen.
Some people will smoke a little pot, drink a little beer, carry on, carouse. You know, let's live right on the edge. Hey, I just can't hardly shake. Look here. Come and let Him. They sing the song Chainbreaker. Come and let Him break the chains today. People want to live in drama, fight, fuss, and carry on. I don't understand that stuff. You know, Jimmy, why do they want to live that way? He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. I give you peace. I want you to have peace. I want you to be living in craziness and fighting and carrying on and turmoil. You can't even come to church and have a good time living like that." We're to love Him. We're to live for Him. But we're to be doing this. We're to be looking for His appearing. Are you doing that today? Come on, Rhett. Did you know that the majority of people just don't believe this? Jesus said it like this. So, well, I think they do. No, Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." Now, He's called. He's not willing that any should perish. That means you. How do I not perish, preacher? Here's all you got to know. You're the sinner. He's the Savior. You'll start out like a baby. You'll be like Lily Kate. You're not going to know everything. You're just going to lay there in His arms and let Him hold you and love on you and feed you when you need feeding and give you. You know what? You're not going to know these things, but you'll begin to grow. You don't have to know John 3:16. All you got to know is you're lost without Him. And He'll save you if you'll come and call on Him. As we stand to our feet and they get a song of invitation, if you need to pray, you ought to come right now before the devil talks you out of it. Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.